Oh, hey guys.
Hello.
Surprise.
We're back.
We got a little, we just missed you guys. So we got a little episode for you here. We wanted to talk about a few things that we've been stumbling upon over the last few days since the finale, and a couple things we wanted to talk about before the reunion show, just in case that gets wild and we don't want to, you know, take up too much time on the podcast after that. So
The internet is swirling with post interviews and insights into the show. And I think now that they can be open and doing, you know, you definitely see certain couples out there on the interview circuit and making appearances. And so we just want to talk about what we found out since the show and how we feel about it going into reunions and second seasons and spinoff. And really, we're looking for a career path here. So.
Yeah, more content. Woo!
Like I said, we don't want to let this go. So starting off, we have just kind of our half-assed internet research.
Yeah. Thank you, Bill Simmons. We stole that
term. Yes, we did. Yep. First off, careers. We really want to address Damien's job.
Oh, okay.
What did we find out about Damien's general manager job?
Well, that's the big reveal, right? So let's go to him last. Okay. Let's start with the others. So the job titles has kind of come up over the last week or so. The job titles were really vague on the show, right? Ex-tank mechanic, nutrition coach, regional manager, general manager. Like, these are content creators, like, very vague titles. And we kind of, like, throughout the season, we've talked about it and joked about it a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Best Buy, Piggly Wiggly, you know, things like that. So it was kind of interesting to see some stuff come out. Now we have some more insight into what they actually do.
Yeah, so we know Kelly is a Beachbody rep.
Oh.
Which is basically like an MLM.
That's a multi-level marketing for those of you who don't live in Utah.
Yeah, so she's a rep for Beachbody. When she was gone those 2 days right after the trip to Puerto Vallarta, she was at a Beachbody event.
Okay.
We're speculating that maybe she met someone there, and that's why her love for
She left the pods feeling just very open to, you know, new experiences and love, and she
went out into the real world, and
you know how those conventions are, you know?
Yeah.
Drink a little bit too much at the hotel bar, and
maybe
all these beach body people out and about. We're on to you, Kelly. We're on to you. We know what happened.
One thing that came up to me regarding Kelly's career is, so during the 3 week process of this show, she's a fan favorite. Like, people really like her. She's really wholesome. They love Kenny and Kelly. We had them as, you know, power couple ranking one.
Yeah.
Thinking these guys are shoo-ins for success, right? Yeah. And so during that time, she's on Instagram peddling her business. And I'm thinking, I bet she's getting a lot of support, a lot of rally. And I wonder what's happened since the finale.
That's a good point. Yeah.
I wonder if it's like impacted. I mean, I'm sure any publicity is good publicity, right? Is what they say. But I think,
oh, her downline is so solid at that point that there's.
That's true. She's good. She's good. We find out Jessica is a regional manager at Box.
Oh, yeah. Do we know sales? That's kind of what we speculated.
Yeah,
Box. Yo, Aaron, Levy, you got to be proud. Yeah. CEO of Box. You might not know this about me, Candace, but I'm a big Box supporter. I have I was going to say a large bag. I have like a medium to small size bag of Box stock. So Jessica, Aaron, if you guys could get that back up around, you know, the $19, $20 share mark, that'd be really cool for me.
Yeah. How do you feel knowing that Jessica is a regional manager?
Oh man, I should be shorting, right? I should be selling right now. That's a good point.
No. We've got to go easy on Jessica. She's been hit hard.
And she seems like a career woman. I'm sure she's great at her job. Oh, she's done very well for herself.
It looks like it.
Yeah.
We know Cam is a data science consultant. Somebody tracked him down on LinkedIn.
Oh, he owns his own business, right? Isn't that what we read?
Yeah. Consultancy. Uh-huh.
Okay.
This isn't making sense. So I saw an interview today. They did a live Q&A on Twitter, and they asked about him taking work off. And he said, I just asked for a couple weeks off.
Mm.
So maybe since, I guess it's been 14 months. So he must have gone from working for somebody else to consulting.
That's a really good point. Yeah, it's been a year and a half. So that could have changed then. Yeah, he mentioned, I think in the pause, that he worked in artificial intelligence, right? So, I wonder.
Things changed a little bit.
Atlanta, yeah. We should look into that more.
Amber, so she got a lot of flack for being unemployed and having a lot of debt. She came out really quickly after that episode aired explaining that it wasn't working because of an on-job injury. and was waiting for workers' compensation.
Ah, okay.
So we know she works on as a tank mechanic, which I'm sure is a little bit treacherous. You're like up high and, you know, climbing into things. I don't know. Like, to me, that doesn't... She had, like, a boot on her foot.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Okay, more than my day job, which is sitting at a desk.
Yeah, yeah, sure, same. Okay, yeah, yeah. I can see it.
So, that was why. And then, what, big reveal on Damien?
Oh, yeah, Damien, yeah. It turns out that he's in the... all we know is food and beverage. I'm just reading your notes over your shoulder here.
That's all we know, food and beverage. So maybe
he's the general manager of a Popeyes. So I was way off the retail. He actually works at...
Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea what that would be.
Oh, man.
I'm hoping it's a Sev.
A 7-Eleven?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, is that big down in Atlanta?
More
it's
of a Utah
really
thing
big
too.
Here.
Yeah.
Mm.
Oh, man. Hmm. Well... Okay.
Interesting. Okay.
Chick-fil-A. Those are big in Atlanta.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's where it was born, right?
Yeah.
Well, Georgia somewhere.
So many suits, though.
I'm probably wrong. Somebody on the show is going to email us and tell me how wrong I am right now. Yeah, they don't wear suits at Chick-fil-A?
No.
Nah.
No.
Well, they don't wear suits at any food and beverage.
No, they don't. But that's what I'm thinking, like, maybe hospitality. Is it, like, in a catering service?
Mm, okay.
Okay, we're so done speculating on this.
Yeah, let's go back to Best Buy. That was more fun anyway.
It was, exactly. okay, I also found out that Jessica and Kelly were friends before the show.
No way.
Yeah, there were some internet sleuths on Reddit that tracked it back to 2014.
Wow.
Their friendship.
They've been friends for a minute.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's some funny...
How does that not come up, like, during the show?
I don't know. Or casting. Like, wouldn't they cast and be like, you guys know each other? We probably won't do that.
We deserved a whole episode dedicated to them fighting about whether they were friends or not, like we got on Bachelor this year.
Yes.
Alea and...
I hope that comes in the reunion.
Victoria fighting about if they were friends or
yeah,
not.
Yeah, yeah.
Thanks
oh
for reading my
gosh.
Reference there.
Oh, I love it.
That's really interesting. So I didn't know this before, like, just now, so I'm just thinking back... When she's having a hard time, she's talking to Kelly, like in Mexico, when she's like, oh, I don't know, me and Mark. Right?
I think so.
Yeah? Man, we should revisit that.
We should.
That's really interesting.
Yeah, and the fact that they both said no at the altar.
Ooh, okay. Just
you think they
some
talked about
confidence
that before?
There. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Little strength in numbers.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
The gold goblets.
Oh, geez.
A lot of feelings about the gold goblets, but we found out they're from Target. They're the Threshold brand. You can buy them online right now.
Yeah, if you go to Target.com, make sure you use promo code BLINDIDOS. That's BLIND. No, just kidding. But yeah, so interesting things have come up. We've talked about the gold goblets a lot. We're like, you know, building our little community. So we've been cross-posting and Instagram and Twitter and Reddit and people emailing and stuff. We posted that same thing on Reddit, and we got a lot of really interesting insight. A, we found out the brand.
Yeah.
Also, a really interesting point, smart point, the producers probably had them using the metal goblets so that we couldn't see the amount of liquid inside of the cup, so that when they were cutting the scenes, that wasn't obvious.
They could cut it however
they
want.
It was full and then empty and then full and then empty, so we can't tell like where in the dialogue these things are happening. It just gives them more flexibility in post, right, to be able to edit that stuff
yeah.
up.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought that was a really interesting point
that
I hadn't thought about before, but
not at all.
You wouldn't noticed otherwise. So
yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. Okay.
Also, can't eat, can't sleep.
Oh, geez.
Over the fence, World Series type of love. How many of your listeners knew this reference? Nate and I had no idea this reference.
Okay,
but
so
man.
We record the episode, we make fun of the quote a little bit. I'm like, what does this even mean? I have two sisters that, like, that second we post the episode, my family's, like, very loyal in supporting me in these dumb hobbies I get into. So they listen to the podcast, and they're texting me 20 minutes later, and they're like, Nate, it's from a Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen movie. I can't believe you don't know this.
It Takes Two.
It Takes Two.
Is Kirstie Alley in it, too?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I was dying. 1995. So, I don't know, 30-something, the early 30 years out there. This is their show. This is their era.
My siblings are late 20s, you know?
Okay. Yeah, that was impressive that they knew that.
Sam, Danny.
But I guess, so my point with the age is I'm thinking Jessica feels a little too old for that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right. It felt more like Mark's demo there, yeah?
Because
he's like more their age, yeah.
Yeah.
No,
anyways,
the movie, like, when he was born,
so
the movie
funny.
Wasn't even, yeah, okay.
Okay, so let's talk weddings. Here's what we find out about the weddings. They had to walk up to the altar.
Oh, okay. Like to get the check.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was part of the agreement.
Incentive in there. Mm-hmm.
All right. Because a lot of people are like, why didn't Kelly say before? Why did Jessica walk down the altar, like walk down the aisle so confidently and do that? It was so cruel. And really, they had to.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
That was the whole premise of the show. This is what you're getting into.
Yeah. I mean, as a viewer, this didn't even bother me at all. I wanted it to happen there, right? Yeah. Like, that's the whole buildup for the last 9 episodes, is to get us to the altar and find out what they're going to say. I get, like, people who don't watch a ton of reality TV, they're like, oh, this feels harsh.
I can't believe you're doing this.
Like, how could you, wouldn't you just break up with them before and save face? But it's like, no, they're contracts. Yeah, to your point, this makes a lot of sense.
I expected it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. But it seems like part of that is because they're incented to do that, right? Mm-hmm. Incentivized. I don't know what that word is.
Mm. But we get it. So yeah, they also, we mentioned this before, Nick and Vanessa, but Nick, I mean, he should have been officiating, him or Vanessa. They should have been right up there at the weddings. And I just want to let the viewers know Nate's ordained.
Oh, jeez.
And can do this season too.
Okay. Let's chunk this out here. Yeah, they should have been at the weddings. I almost swore, but then I remembered we had an 11-year-old that watches the show. Thank you to whoever it was that left us that review. Edited myself just for that. Yeah, they should have been at the weddings. They're like non-existent in the show, and it drives me insane because a lot of these other shows, Chris Harrison, like, he's going to miss the wedding? Give me a break.
Yeah.
We would be at the wedding, Netflix.
Yeah, Mick should have been right there at the altar. Why not?
They should have been there, right? Yeah, should have been introducing the bride or whatever. Yeah. Second part of that, it's true, I am ordained. I have performed a couple of weddings in my day. Russ, Linda, you're welcome. Alvaro, Danielle, you're welcome. I think those are the only two I've done. But they're a lot of fun. And I'm not bad at it. I'm probably, as bad as I am at this podcast, I'm probably slightly better at the wedding thing. So if any of you need an ordained minister to perform your weddings, just hit us up, blindideas@gmail.com. I'd be happy to. I love, yo. I would love to be there. Should we lean into the Nick and Vanessa stuff right now? So I was telling you earlier about, I had read a couple theories that they were added after the fact when Netflix was like, well, we need somebody to go on like the talk show tour and promote the show. And so Nick and Vanessa aren't that expensive. Like, since TRL, they're looking for a little work. And I stole that joke from somebody on Twitter. So I don't know. Thoughts there?
That feels, to me, I was like, okay, that makes sense. Like, they probably picked him up later and then cut them into the first episode because we just didn't see them with the cast. But that is debunked by the camera person we know.
Oh, yeah, because she says that they got along well with the cast.
She actually worked on the show. Yeah.
Look at you semi-name dropping over there.
Exactly.
I see you.
So, but I did think, I was like, that's actually a really interesting theory.
I like that conspiracy theory. Yeah.
I don't think it's true. I think they were there from the beginning and...
I think we can all just agree that they're a bad fit here.
They are. I'm very curious for the reunion show because they'll be hosting it.
Oh, yeah.
And they're sitting right there with them and just kind of, I think we'll have a better view of the rapport they have with the cast.
Oh, man, I'm going to be so biased going in, but you're right. We'll get a lot of good insight there from that. Should we go
we want them to fail now, too?
Talk about, there's been some fanfare about, and yo, as much as I would love to host, and we've been running this joke for 10 episodes now, thanks for sticking with us. A lot of fans are saying that
Lauren and Cameron should host.
They should host.
Season 2. And I don't hate that.
I don't hate it either.
No, I think it's, that happens often on Married at First Sight. Well, they have a couple of like past contestants hosting after shows and being really involved. And I just think, them having that point of view of going through the process and they could connect with the cast. And I don't know, I think it, and they're both like really fun and dynamic. Well, she is.
I was going to say, he is not. He is.
She is.
A brick wall, but she is really good. Like, she would be great in that dynamic. Yeah. And them together, and I think, you know, they're probably a little more comfortable now. Yeah, I'm all for it. I support that.
And give them more of an opportunity based off of their popularity on the show.
They carry the show.
Yeah,
I mean, get on Twitter right now. Everybody loves them.
Netflix owes them.
Yeah, least they could do.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, I support that.
Okay, back to weddings. Jessica and Mark, we didn't mention this at the day of the wedding, because to be honest, I didn't notice it. I didn't notice until then a few people alerted us of this. Jessica and Mark's venue was different.
That's right. So they were in like, they had the weird chandeliers on the wall, the giant chandelier. They got dropped off at the front door. It looked different.
Right. Yeah, it was like way fancier.
We're
ballet area.
Some more half-assed internet research. Who knows if this stuff's true or not? But we read that potentially the same owner of their venue and the venue where everyone else chose, and they got to choose where they wanted to get married, and they were like essentially right next door across the street. They were really close together. So that's kind of what I read there. So yeah, who knows if that's true or not? But that's what I read. There probably what happened is, you know, the budget's a little tight here for Kinetic Productions, and they were like, oh, we have another wedding that night, or
yes, there's some scheduling conflicts. Yeah, exactly. That's why they ended up there.
Yeah, so they were like, okay, we'll use this other venue.
You can totally see that. Amber did confirm in an interview that the production company did pay for the weddings.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
So we speculated on that. She brought up the alterations on the dress, and they must have edited it. She was probably just talking anecdotally, like, I can't believe dress alterations would cost $850.
I see, yeah.
So not meaning she had to pay for it, but she was probably just talking about how expensive it was.
Gotcha. Yeah, yeah. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
That makes
sense. So that made me feel better because we were like outraged about that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you figure, I mean, after you, they're all in the same venue, it looks like similar floral arrangements and repeat pastors. Are we going to talk about that? Is that in your notes here?
No, but we should talk about that.
Yeah.
So, I meant to bring that up on wedding day.
Oh,
this was funny. Like, I was wondering if they got, like, it's like picking out tile when you're building a house. You got to pick out your, who's going to marry you. And two of the couples picked the same person.
Yeah, I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah.
Whoa. The couples that pick the same person are Kelly and
Jessica.
I wonder if it's, I wonder if they go to church together or something.
Yeah, maybe.
And they know the same guy.
Yeah. I wonder if there was a personal connection to who was marrying them.
Yeah,
I dismissed it that it wasn't because of the duplicate, but now that we know that, I don't know.
Yeah. I loved the other two.
Yeah.
Like, if I could pick, I'd pick one of the other two.
Mm. Okay.
I thought they were really good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
They kind of had a little bit of a tough job. They had to, like, explain, like, justify why this was happening. They're like, I know this wasn't traditional, and on and on. Okay, so... Oh, okay. This was fun. I think I loved hearing the feedback from the cast after they watched the episodes. And so I just want to call out a few of those.
Okay.
Amber mentions she was disappointed with how the producers portrayed where she grew up. They kind of really played into like her growing up in a rougher area. Mm-hmm. And she actually said it hurt her mom's feelings. How that was set up.
Okay.
And I was like, oh.
Yeah, bummer.
Yeah. Yeah.
I liked her mom.
I did too.
Well, like a normal house to grow up in. No?
Yeah. I think they did. To be honest, I felt that a little bit. I think Barnett says it a couple times, and then how they pull up and they don't even go inside the house, and they're just, I don't know.
Yeah.
Compared to Barnett's family, where you could tell it was like a nicer home, and then they sat out on the patio and.
Yeah. No, I see it.
I could
for sure.
How that could look and. Cameron, this was funny. Lauren actually met Cameron's parents.
Oh, word?
And they never showed that.
They just never showed us.
They just never showed us.
Oh, interesting. I wonder why.
I wonder why too.
I brought this up a couple episodes ago. I liked how they moved the show along and they didn't need to show us everything, everyone doing everything. But it seems like something like that, meeting the parents, we would want to see how that interaction went.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay. That's really interesting. Yeah. I would love to see how that went.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure they loved her.
No, they did say, and I didn't mean to say, they said it went great.
Oh, I bet.
And then even that, Papa Speed went and met Cameron's parents before the wedding.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
How
so
helpful.
They had like, just like Kelly and Kenny, Papa how we saw Speed. The families together with Kenny and Kelly.
Yeah.
They had a similar experience with Lauren and Cameron.
I wonder
Cameron.
If all the couples did something like that, except
yeah,
for
maybe.
Jessica. What about Jessica? Do you know anything there?
No, I didn't hear anything there.
Oh, man. If anyone knows anything about meeting Jessica's parents.
Yeah. I doubt it.
I doubt it, too.
I doubt it. She just wasn't invested in it, yeah.
They didn't make it to the wedding.
She had her two friends there. Okay.
Her friend said, I'm so embarrassed for her. that's popping up all over the internet.
Gosh.
It's a lot of fun to relive that.
Barnett, he made three real connections. So he's talking about the very first episode where he makes these real connections with three girls, but they didn't show how or why. I think where he's coming from is they think he looks like a player.
Yeah. I mean, I said these words.
Yeah.
I had them bottom of my power rankings. I thought, this dude's not here for it. He's like trying to date all these chicks. And it turns out that's not the case.
He said, like his words, I made three real connections and they really didn't show why.
Yeah.
And so he was just justifying his behavior. Like, hey, no, it was really, I really connected with these girls. They were great girls.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I 180'd on this guy, but I think if we had just had more insight into those connections and I'm sure a lot of these people had other connections that we just didn't get to see. And they just showed us that for Barnett. It was part of the drama of the first couple episodes.
Yeah, and so, it was part of they were some reason branding him that way.
That narrative. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Barnett, we understand you now. So.
Yeah. Lauren. So Lauren actually was very pleased. She talked about how Netflix and Kinetic content really stayed authentic to her story. She wanted to be super transparent about how she was feeling as a Black woman, be authentically Black without toning that down because of her connections with a white man.
Okay. Yeah, of course she loved the way she was portrayed. Like,
yeah, she talks about the bonnet. And so that first night they spend together and she has her hair covered. Yeah. And then I can't remember the other things that she pointed out, but she was really pleased with how they portrayed that. And I think the viewers have been too.
Yeah, I think the production company decided early on, hey, people are going to like and connect with this girl.
Yeah.
They showed us the best sides of her, I thought.
Yeah, they did. And to be honest, like I don't know what negative sides she'd probably have. She just comes across as really authentic. That's the perfect word for it.
Yeah, sure. And I didn't mean to imply that, they hid anything from us.
No, but they definitely pushed that story.
Yeah. Like, Barnett seems like a really genuine, dope dude. And they just, by keeping some things away from us, it made us seem like...
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
Isn't that so funny?
They did a really good... They did a really fair job with Lauren, I thought.
Do you think they do that in casting? So they're sitting in casting and they're looking at, okay, we're choosing between... they have it, 30, 40 people, and they're trying to narrow it down. You think they come up with, this is the role we want. We want, this Southern bro player.
Okay.
That's, kind of the best looking one.
Hmm.
Do we want this wholesome, down to earth, they have in mind certain.
They're like storyboarding a little bit,
stereotypes.
Right? They're saying, okay, this is a story that we could drive with this guy, or this is a character that this guy could play for us, right?
Okay.
I mean, they don't know how this stuff's going to play out at that point, but they can say, like, hey, this is our Southern whatever, or this is our...
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't even think of a good example.
They probably... they probably have, like, okay, we want enough diversity to make... But then enough...
Enough diversity. 52 white people and 2 Black people.
That's a really good point. That's what I'm thinking. Like, I guess there has to be... enough sameness, that's not the right word, for them to make these connections.
Yeah, we talked a little bit about, in the first episode, about everyone's kind of like a 7, they're a little bit better looking than average. There is something about having them all be similar enough that the format will work.
Yeah.
I think there's some truth to that.
When I said diversity, it's really the spectrum from Kelly to Amber.
Gotcha, yeah.
In just... Yeah. Personality types.
Brunette to like a different brunette. I see.
No, personality types.
I'm just poking fun. Yes, of course. Of course.
Yeah. Anyways, but really with this, it's like, I think the producers were surprised at how it turned out completely. They didn't even know they'd get this many engagements.
They were expecting one engagement. Yeah.
And I think they just had a ton of content. They're trying to edit it down to only 10 episodes. And so they just picked and chose certain storylines and certain characters. And
yeah, I think if they could do it again, I think they'd give us less couples.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think they did.
I'd love to see that.
End up leaving a lot of stuff out that they probably wish they could show us.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I really loved how the show moved along. I thought they did such a good job with that I don't know if I would change that.
I'd like to see less couples.
Less couples, more content?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen this with Married at First Sight going from 3 to 5, and 5 is just too much.
Yeah,
so I think with
like
this,
lot,
I think
yeah.
it'd be perfect with 4 couples.
Huh, interesting, okay.
They could do 4 couples in 10 episodes.
We talked about this last episode, but I bet they regret Kelly and Kenny.
Yeah.
Because how much time did they waste there for a nothing story?
Yeah.
Not Kelly and Kenny, you're not nothing, but, there's just more drama, more dynamic with the other couples, and then you guys didn't even end up together, Kelly.
Yeah. other insights from interviews is, she said it took her 9 months to recover from the heartbreak.
9 months?
Yeah.
To get over that
serial
killer looking oh man, I almost called him a mother effer right now. I'm, oh, yeah, 9 months?
He's gross.
Okay, here's what I'll say about that. To people who have reached out to us talking about their first endeavor into reality TV, Jerrica, thank you for the email. This is like how real this is, right? Like her heart was broken. It took her 9 months to get over this.
Yes. Yes.
So yeah, it's weird. There's so many things at play here that make these people behave in weird ways, right? Cameras, just the format that they're meeting. Imagine meeting this format without the cameras there, right? It's this really weird thing to go through. Then you're in Mexico with them, and then you're living together, and you've known them for a week. Like, it's a lot. And then you throw the cameras in on top of that, and then all the other couples. And then, yeah, there's just so much happening here that, yeah, a lot of behavior happens that you're like, what? What are they doing? Then you think, okay, well, maybe if I were in this situation with all of these external pressures, maybe I'd be doing some weird things too. But at the end of the day, it's like, these are real people going through real relationships.
Never been in front of cameras before.
Also true.
Never done, you know, a lot
except
of people.
Except for Carlton, who was on the Real Housewives of Atlanta.
One. Good one, yes.
Sorry, not to derail here.
That was true. Yeah, did everyone see that clip?
I didn't see it.
He
I just read it.
Mean.
Oh, does he?
Oh, my gosh. But I don't know the Real Housewives characters.
Okay.
You probably would. You got to watch it.
Yeah, don't like just but he gets, narc me out to the people here.
Yeah, you know exactly, but oh my gosh, he gets so snarky.
Okay.
So snarky.
I should watch it.
He throws a fit. He's like a coordinator of some wedding thing that the Real Housewife character's like trying to throw an event, and he just like.
Oh, how funny.
Yeah.
I'm going to track it down.
So snarky with her.
I hope it's Nene.
It's not Nene. I know Nene. It's a newer, younger character.
Okay.
That I don't know from the newer season.
It's like a recent one? Okay.
Yeah. Anyways, okay. We digress. We do know some other interviews. So Lauren and Cameron, they've been doing the most interviews. This is the most stuff I've read.
Fan favorite, successful couple. Everyone wants them on the show.
Yeah, we find out they spent the holidays in Maine with his family. They went on a beach vacation. They just couldn't post pictures of them together. So their close friends and family knew, of course.
Because I'm thinking a year and a half, like this is a long time to be secretive about a relationship.
Yeah, no. They were living their normal life.
The
but
people
they just post.
At the wedding obviously know, right? Yeah. So their families and stuff know. So there is like some exposure there. I wonder if all those people had to sign NDAs.
Yeah. I don't. I mean, because it's like there's only so much you could keep it contained.
True. Yeah.
Yeah. I have no idea.
There's nothing to keep a secret because I guess you just don't post on social media because we didn't care until February 13th.
And you have 3 weeks to care.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's not like, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not like they couldn't tell people.
What I'm dying to know is how they found out about casting. Because Cameron interviewed says they were asking why he didn't. He was like, well, I just felt like I hadn't been finding what I had been on dating apps and I'd been always attracted to the wrong girls. And so I was really excited about doing this. My family wasn't super supportive. He said, and my mom didn't really want me to. I felt like I should. And I'm thinking, how did you even hear about this? Right?
Yeah.
Like, how was it advertised? How did you know? What did they tell you when you went?
Yeah. No, it's a good question. Yeah. I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah.
If anyone out there does, share with us. Here's what I will share. We know who does the production, right? Mm-hmm. So I've like signed up for all the alerts for their production company so that Kinetic, we've been talking about a little bit this. I signed up for all this stuff because I want to know when they start casting season 2 so that we can go and meet some people and like start the podcast there. I think it'd be a lot of fun to like get that insight.
Yeah.
So I saw, like right now, if you live in New Orleans and you're listening to the show and you think this is a cool format, you should go on Married at First Sight. They're casting New Orleans right now.
Do it.
And so there's application there. So I think they just like any of these dating show casting calls, right? Like just the word gets out and you fill out an application and word of mouth. And I mean, Kinetic has like they've been doing this for a long time.
Yeah.
They've got like
their they branded it Love is Blind. And I guess you just don't know. I'm just thinking
they didn't even do that. I bet they just open call for a dating show. Yeah. I mean, these guys are casting Man versus Bear, where people are literally competing against Bear, the animal.
Yeah.
Not Bear Grylls who drinks his own piss. Bear and like an 800-pound grizzly bear.
Yeah, we watched it.
We watched like a minute of it. Let's not. Yo, we watched plenty of junk TV, but there's a line.
I've definitely seen that show.
Anyway, what I'm saying is if they can find ways to cast those types of shows, how easy is a dating show, right? Especially in Atlanta, there's, 80 zillion people that live there that are all 20-something, so
mm-hmm.
Seems like a dream place. Where are they going next?
Oh, yeah. So I think we got to predict. We got to put in predictions for season two. One, are they going to announce it on the reunion show on Thursday?
Oh, I hope so bad.
I hope so. We're legit just dying for it.
I can't imagine they haven't announced it yet. I was talking about this with you today. I watch a show on HBO halfway through the first season. They're like, hey, good news. We've renewed. Season two is going to happen. And you get like a more invested in it because you're like, okay, it's not going to die in 3 weeks. I wish they would do that for
us. They need to capitalize on this wave right now, especially captive audience.
Yeah.
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 Not that Netflix needs that. I mean, they put out anything and people eat it up.
Well, you know, this especially.
Yeah. So we're hoping.
Obviously, we're hoping. We want to ride this wave forever. This is so much fun.
Well, where do you think they're going to do it?
So we talked about this a little bit. I did some research today. So it's the same company that was Married at First Sight. I kind of looked at their, they did Atlanta one season. I kind of looked at their like train of cities. They've only done massive cities, massive. They've only done really big cities. New York, Atlanta, Boston, Miami, Dallas, Philadelphia, Chicago. These are the cities where Married at First Sight has done. It feels like they're going to probably follow the trend here and go to one of those same cities, don't you think?
Yeah. I'm guessing either Dallas or Houston.
Texas.
Yeah.
Yeah, we talked about this a little bit earlier today, but I feel like they really like the Texas demographic. I think it overlaps a lot with the demographic that's watching the show right now. Mm-hmm. Big, big cities, a lot of youth there, similar type of thing. I think you're right. I think Dallas is probably the best bet. I wish, if anyone's listening from Connecticut, do a Married at First Sight or a Love is Blind. Here, Candace and I, we live here in Salt Lake City, Utah, which...
Oh, it's prime.
Is prime nothing to be proud of, but is... I mean, people are doing Love is Blind every day here. People are meeting and getting married in 2 weeks. Like, what's the difference between that and Married at First Sight? They would have 100,000 people come to the casting call.
Oh, it'd be fantastic.
They would have a million couples to choose from to watch the show. They'd all be really boring, white, blonde-haired, blue-eyed people, but they'd have a lot of them to choose from. Mm-hmm. Yeah?
They sure would.
I wish I'd
come here. It'd be a younger demographic, that's for sure.
They would get some 18-year-olds all. Yeah, that's literally what I'm seeing every day.
Lots of child brides.
Yep. Mm. Yep, teenage brides.
Okay, so another thing I want to know about is they've been holding on to this for 14 months. What was their strategy for releasing now?
Oh, I see. Okay, yeah.
Like they could have released this at any time.
Yeah, because look, we're doing the reality tour stuff. Married at First Sight's on right now.
Mm-hmm.
Bachelor's on right now.
We're mid-season.
Right, like there's a lot of competition in this market right now. Mm-hmm. Why did it come out right now?
I don't know.
Yes, you do.
Well, I think strategically they did it mid Bachelor.
You think?
Yeah.
Tell me more about that.
I think they just wanted to like compete with it.
They want to go head to head?
Yeah. And because Bachelor sucks right now.
That's if anything, if Bachelor even entered their mind, which I don't think it did, I think they released for Valentine's Day. I think that was always a plan for them.
Oh, I forgot that.
It came out February 13th, so day before Valentine's Day. I think that was always the plan for them. But if Bachelor entered their mind at all, Peter has been terrible. This has been a terrible season of Bachelor.
Yeah, really bad.
What a better time to be like, okay, hey, get over that 40-year-old, antiquated, terrible reality show and come try the new, fun, successful. I did the math today. Bachelor's at like a 17% success rate. Married at First Sight's at like a 30% success rate. So this feels more...
And we were at a 33% success rate. You kept correcting me.
Yeah, 33, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 2 out of 6, yeah.
I'm so glad you ran those numbers.
Only if you count Diamond and Carlton, like who are there for 1 minute. And we don't even know about the other two couples.
Yeah.
Right? They were engaged, didn't even go through. So anyway, better format, better audience, younger, more fun, better to binge, I think they're trying, if Bachelor came to their mind, I think they're thinking, hey, we could steal some of the viewership right now. Yeah. Not that they need to, they're probably doubling, tripling what Bachelor's doing.
Well, right, and opening up to a whole new market. How many, do you think this is driving first-time reality dating viewers?
Yeah, okay, so that's another side of it, is a lot of people cut the cord. So your TV access is either network television that you get like over the air, Fox, ABC, NBC, CBS. They're not getting a lot of reality TV, right? This is like scripted dramas and daytime TV. And then you get Netflix and Hulu, which also doesn't have like a ton of reality TV. I mean, Netflix recently with The Circle and this, like they're starting to get into it. But I think you're right. I think they're opening it up to a new audience that isn't
seeing
it. I mean,
I personally know people, this is their first time watching a reality dating show.
Yeah, yeah. Jericho, who I mentioned earlier, who emailed us. Thanks, Jericho, for the email. If you guys want to reach out, blindideas@gmail.com. It's a lot of fun. We love getting it. We write back. It's really cool. So if you have thoughts, reach out. But yeah, she mentioned she'd never dove into reality TV before, and then she's in now.
Yeah, and it's really fun to hear that perspective, that point of view, because I've been watching reality TV since it started. And I think part of the way I interact with it and why this is so fun is I've never taken it that seriously. And what I've noticed is some of these people who are watching it for the first time are like, it's almost like they're just so...
it's like stressing them
out. It stresses them out, yeah. It causes like anxiety. Like it feels awkward. It feels stressful. It feels embarrassing. And I'm like, you can't be embarrassed for these people. Like, this is fun. This is like a good time. And to be honest, like, good things come from it.
It's true, yeah.
Like, and maybe I think in my younger years, I was a real cynic, and maybe now I'm just like this hopeless romantic, but I just like, I love it.
Oh yeah. No, same. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. Yeah. I agree. I think, yeah, new audience, people who maybe wouldn't even watch this type of content before. And then the fact it's on Netflix got this huge groundswell. A lot of people are talking about it. If you just search Love is Blind on Twitter, a million tweets, like people are really engaged with the show. So and then you get word of mouth and stuff, and then people are like water cooler talking about it, and then yeah, you're like, okay, well, I'll check it out. It's on Netflix. I got nothing else to do. I'll either scroll through here for 3.5 hours and choose nothing, or I'll just like dive into this episode that everyone's talking about.
Yeah.
In the same vein of it, hey, we really appreciate everyone emailing. We really appreciate the reviews we've gotten on Apple. One of you accidentally gave us a 3-star review, which feels like I don't know if that's like a good or a bad or what.
It was for sure a mistake.
Feel free to delete that one. That's okay. We won't hold that against you. But I do want to shout out the people who have been supportive of me personally and my insecurities here around the word my guy. Specifically, we got an email and a review of people saying that they don't judge me for saying that. So,
oh, good.
Just thank you from the bottom of my heart. You really, thank you.
Oh, another cool thing is just finding connections in the podcast community. And so I want to give a shout out to a new podcast that I've been introduced to. And we think our audience, to me, it's just like, it's a really fun little crossover. Mm. It's called Heaving Bosoms.
Mm, okay.
When I got the DM from them, I was like really nervous to open it. But when I did, I was pleasantly surprised, because what they do each week is they read romance novels and then recap them and review them.
Also, it's like this, but for a romance novel.
For romance novels.
We're at Barnes & Noble yesterday.
We did our research.
And Candace is scouring the romance section, which I've never seen her do before.
And so, because okay, I want to get into this.
All right, okay.
And anyway, so I wanted to give them a shout out. And if you guys want to check them out and are into this, it could be really fun. And we could do this together. Yes.
Okay, all right. Check them out.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
And they're fans of the show. So thanks,
yeah.
Ladies.
Hey, guys. Yeah, thanks.
So yeah, reunion show. I'm just like super excited. It's not going to be on Netflix. It's going to be on Netflix YouTube channel.
Oh, word?
Yeah.
Weird.
So just so everybody knows that. I don't know what that means.
Oh, me neither.
You're like my technology officer.
Yeah, I'll figure it out.
Figure that out for me.
Yeah, I figured out how to make a podcast. So we'll figure that out. Kind of. I have figured out how to make a podcast.
So we're really excited about the reunion show. And we'll be back after that to talk about what happens there.
Yeah. Like, subscribe, rate us, review us. Not 3 stars, though. That's weird. Don't do that. Okay. Tweet us. We love to interact with you guys. Send us the good memes. Send us the good gifts.
Okay. See you in a few days.
See you in a few days, guys.
Bye.
Bye. I do.